time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. This is Todd Griffin, and this is the sideline report. Coming up a little bit later on this morning on the show, former Caldwell County baseball and football standout Shane Burns will join us. We'll also be talking to longtime UK sports writer Larry Vaught. Lots coming up for UK sports very quickly, so we've got lots to talk about with him. Also, a bit of a special surprise on the show this morning. The nine newest members of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame class have been voted on and approved, selected. They will be honored during the season, and we'll let you know who the new nine members of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame are a little bit later on in the show this morning. Once again, Larry Vaught is coming up next. Stay with us as we continue here on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Get into shape and feel good at Trilogy Performance Sports. Trilogy offers a wide range of family-friendly classes as well as personal training, yoga, gymnastics, sports training, cardio, and weightlifting. Trilogy has something for everyone. Trilogy now offers an app with online workouts, live classes, nutrition tracking, and more. Search Trilogy Performance Sports in your app store. Use sign-up code 1824. For app info and more, follow them on Facebook.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricios.com. That's Tricios.com.
Hey, sports fans, you wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Get ready for back to school with Health First Community Health Center, offering physicals, immunizations, ADHD treatment, and well child, sick child visits. At Health First, we offer affordable, quality health care for the entire family. We accept K-CHIP, Medicaid, Medicare, and all major commercial insurance. A discount program is available based on income and household size. Call today to make your appointment at 1-877-667-7017.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. This is the Sideline Report, and we're joined now by longtime University of Kentucky sports writer Larry Vaught. You can read his work over at yoursportsedge.com. And Larry, good morning. Thanks for coming on the Sideline Report this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I said longtime UK sports writer, but really, you write all kinds of sports, right?
Well, I try to. That makes it a little bit more fun, a little bit more interesting, I think.
But we like to talk UK sports, and, you know, this is a great time of the year if you're a UK fan, with football coming up and basketball's got an early start this year. So, you know, you have to be in hog heaven if you're a UK fan.
Yeah, there's a lot going on and a lot of reason to be optimistic about those two sports. And then, of course, just coming off the great showing that some former UK athletes had in the World Championships on the track. So it's been a really nice few weeks.
Yeah, the University of Kentucky has kind of improved all of its athletic programs there. And, you know, at one time, I think everybody just considered UK a basketball school, and maybe that was the case at the time. But between volleyball and track and baseball and softball, I think there are some other sports now that kind of have come into national prominence.
Yeah, Mitch Barnhart, no matter what you may or may not think of the UK Athletics Director, the overall sports program at Kentucky is as good as a vast majority of programs in the United States and far better than most of them. And every sport or just about every sport has excelled recently, and from the rifle team and volleyball team winning national championships to the women's swimming team winning SEC championship. The soccer team did really well this year. Jensen Castle on the golf team was the U.S. women's amateur champion. So then in track with Abby Steiner and Cindy McLaughlin and others, it's just been phenomenal. And then you throw in what they do in basketball and football, and it's pretty special.
Yeah, I think hopes are high again for football this fall. And we might have talked about this some last year before the season. It's always great to have high hopes and to have a team that kind of leads to those high hopes. But the Southeastern Conference is still the Southeastern Conference, and sometimes it's tough to find wins.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a little bit of where UK fans in football need to kind of slow the hype train down just a little bit when they're talking about an 8-4, 9-3 season would be a disappointment. And when you look on that schedule and you've got Georgia, which is the national champion, and many people think could have a chance to be right back there playing again. And then you go to Florida and Tennessee, places I think Kentucky has won one time each in the last 30-some years. And then you go to Ole Miss, which is probably going to be a better team than Florida or Tennessee, either one this year. So those are four pretty difficult games. And if it happened, you lost all of them, I mean, that's certainly not the end of the world. Now, I do think winning at Florida, Kentucky's have a great chance to do that, but that's week two. It's still a place they've not won a whole lot. They did win there a couple of years ago. But, again, it's one thing to be optimistic, but try to also be realistic.
Yeah. A lot of that's on Mark Stoops, though, right? He's the one that kind of got the program to the point where you can expect those kind of things. And it's interesting because he was a guy that kind of had to work his way through the UK fandom a little bit. He had some rough patches early, but now he's a guy that looks like one day they'll build a statue of him outside of Kroger Field.
Yeah, they sure should. He's two wins away from being the all-time winningest coach at Kentucky, passing a guy named Bear Bryant, and he's lifted the bar really, really high, and he didn't discourage him. They are openly talking about wanting to be in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and I think that's what you need. I just kind of think that if you're a fan, you need to watch the statements when you say, if Kentucky only wins 8 or only wins 9, you're going to really be disappointed and not think of it as a successful season. It's okay to be hoping for a spot to get in the SEC championship and win 10 or 11, but also be realistic and think about how many times Kentucky's won 8 or more games in a season.
Oh, for sure. I think there were times where if you were a UK football fan, you were trying to count 6 wins on the schedule just to try to get to a bowl game.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and just praying that that would happen. And it didn't happen very often until just recently. Rich Brooks kind of got it going, and it slid back, and then Mark Stoops came in. Took him a little while to get things back going. Now he's got it going in a really good direction, and I think it's going to stay there for a good while because of the foundation that Stoops and Vince Mera and his staff have built.
Now, quarterback Will Levis, I think, is part of the reason hopes are so high. Now, is he the kind of guy that could put together maybe a season where he could work his way into the Heisman Trophy kind of contendership, or is that something, you know, that's really, really out there?
Well, if he's going to, Kentucky has to win at Florida. If they don't win at Florida, I think any of that kind of hype kind of goes away. It won't impact what the NFL scouts think about Will and his future, but I think it would definitely impact what the voters and postseason awards would think about him if they do not win at Florida, because early in the season you kind of think, well, it's just going to be Kentucky. And I think a lot of the national media members will just kind of look a different direction. So that's an important game from a PR standpoint for Kentucky, but also for a lot of individual players who might be looking to get some postseason honors. If you win that game, and that kind of gets the attention of the nation again, because you would think you would win the next two, then you're sitting there 4-0, and you go back to play another SEC game, and then you got a chance to really start out and make people pay attention to you.
The quarterback situation, though, is one that has really, I think, turned around for UK. It seems like for a while that was a problem, but you bring in a guy like Will Levis and some other guys, and to the point that even, you know, we found out this week that Bo Allen is going to leave, and he was a guy that looked to be the next quarterback at one time.
Yeah, he did, and of course, he was recruited when Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw were there and running a far different offense from what Kentucky is now running with first Liam Cohen and now Rich Scangarello. So I didn't know how the future was going to hold out for Bo. I thought when he stayed through the spring that he would going to be here for another year, but I think from all you can hear, read, and kind of look at, apparently Iowa transfer Deuce Hogan and Somerset quarterback Kaya Sharon, who will be a redshirt freshman this year, both not only had really good springs, but they've had really good summers. And I think Bo figured, well, I'm not going to play in front of Will Levis this year, and there's no guarantee I will play next year, and there's no guarantee Kentucky won't bring in another transfer quarterback then. So I think he decided I might as well just go ahead and accept that. If I want to play, go ahead and try to move and make the move now rather than sit here another season knowing I'm not going to play. And I wish him nothing but the best. I watched him a lot in high school. He's a terrific, terrific player. But I was thinking when that happened, I don't think Kentucky has had a player start a quarterback that it recruited out of high school now since Drew Barker started. I guess you could technically say that Lynn Bowden started
right,
then. He really wasn't recruited. That was out of necessity. But you had Stephen Johnson come in, and then you had Terry Wilson come in. Now you've had Will Levis come in. So it's just interesting how things have changed, and there's no reason to think that Kentucky may not go out and get another quarterback out of the transfer portal this year when guys see how successful Will Levis has been and they're somewhere and things aren't going great. They might think, well, yeah, Kentucky would be a really good place for me to go to.
Well, how much has the transfer portal and now the NILs, how much has that changed the landscape of college football and college sports? Because it seems like if you're missing a player now, you've got a place to go shop for one and bring him in and plug him in.
Yeah, I think it's probably changing a lot more than most of us can understand because we're not there on a daily basis and see it. And then you see something like what went on with Bo Allen, a guy that I guarantee it intended to be a Kentucky for his whole career. And then through people that came in that he maybe wasn't anticipating coming in, and then being so easy for him to leave and go somewhere else, there he goes. And Kentucky's done great in the transfer portal with what they brought in last year, and I think with what they brought in this year, they've done very, very well again. Then the NIL, I think it's just something that's hard to comprehend because a lot of the things you don't really know what is said, what's true, what's not true, how much money's there, how much money's not there. But I there's no doubt it's making an impact. I think it's just hard for most of us to know because we really don't see the figures or the explanations. But I think what it's going to do, I mean, the best teams are just going to get better. I mean, Alabama football, Kentucky basketball, whatever's out there for NIL, you know, those two teams are going to be right at the top of it. So in some ways it changes things. But in other ways, I'm not so sure it does because I think the best just maybe will be even better now.
We're talking with sports writer Larry Vaught this morning. Again, you can read his work over at yoursportsedge.com. Vaught's views button right there on the front of yoursportsedge.com. Larry, the UK basketball team, what's your feelings on that coming up this season? And, of course, they got the big trip to the Bahamas coming up.
Yeah, should be fun to have a chance to get to watch them early and kind of get a look at them. I think it's always fun when they go down there and you get to see kind of what you may or may not like about this team. I think obviously it gives you a chance to see the freshman Casey Wallace and Chris Livingston and think, okay, are they as good as the hype? Are they better than the hype? They got work to do. I think you get to see Antonio Reeves, the transfer, kind of figure out what he does. I don't think that Oscar Tshiebwe is going to do anything that can really surprise us other than just be Oscar, but I think to me what I'm looking most forward to kind of getting a chance to see is how are Jacob Toppin and Damian Collins going to be. I mean, a lot of people think, well, Keon Brooks leaving, that's not a big deal. Well, we'll see if it is or not. I know Keon got criticized by a lot of UK fans, but a lot of starts, a lot of experience, and he had a lot of really, really good games for Kentucky. So now let's see, can Collins and Toppin step into more of a spotlight role where they have to produce, and then they're going to get their chance because Brooks is gone, so those minutes are there. So, and again, it's just going to be exhibition games, but I think that'll give us a chance to at least have a feel for, yeah, do we think those guys have improved? Should John Calipari have been playing them more last year based on what we're seeing down in the Bahamas? So to me, that's what I'm going to be looking at the most.
Yeah, it seems like it's always a season-long thing to see if Calipari can figure out which group works well together. And, you know, there's always so much talent there that you just don't know if they're ever going to put it together by the end of the season to make a big run.
Yeah, well, I think they were in great shape last year. It was about 2 weeks ago in the season. I mean, I thought they were the best team in the nation, and those injuries just kind of got to them and just kind of discombobulated them. There really wasn't any other direction for them to go. And then just that loss to St. Peter's leaves you with such a bitter taste from last year that you kind of tend to forget. Up until mid-February, there wasn't a huge concern about Shaden Sharp not playing. There wasn't a huge concern about this wasn't going to be a great season for Kentucky. Then they lose that game to Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and you lose to St. Peter's, and it's like that Kentucky was horrible all season when they weren't. And I think that's what folks need to remember, that a lot of last year was really, really good, and just the last couple of games weren't. So it's not like Kentucky has to reconstruct everything about what they did last year. They just got to find a way to finish a little bit better than what they did last year.
I think a lot of UK fans kind of like to see those in-state kids end up at UK, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. I know the Cats are in on some. Reed Shepherd is headed that way, and Travis Perry from just down the road, actually grew up here in Caldwell County, is a kid that UK is interested in. So would that make a lot of fans happy to see, you know, those in-state kids out there on the floor, or is it just a case of Kentucky just needing to win more at the end of the year to make everybody happy?
Well, I think ideally you would have some in-state kids playing and you win.
Yeah, there you go.
But I think if you have in-state players and you don't win, I'm not sure that'll still make folks happy. But I think winning cures most problems. But I do think that Reed Shepherd, and he showed on the game on ESPN on Tuesday, that I think he's going to be able to help impact winning. And I think what he did also should probably make folks feel a whole lot better about Travis Perry, too, because I know there's been a lot of questions about, well, was Reed really that good, not that good? Well, I think he showed on national TV the other night that he's pretty good, and he's been really good, I think, every time I've ever seen him play, except once. That happened to be in the state tournament last year when he didn't play near as well as normal. And I think Travis Perry is a lot like that, is a lot better than many people nationally want to give him credit for, because they say, oh, he just plays that little bitty school in Western Kentucky. How good can he be? He just scores against teams that aren't that good. Well, he's pretty darn good, too, and I don't know what he'll end up doing. I think he's wise to take his time. He didn't jump at the UK scholarship offer, but I think if John Calipari added Reed Shepherd in his 2023 class and added Travis Perry in his 2024 class, be an awful lot of people across Kentucky very happy with that.
Larry, Travis had 36 on Wednesday, but it was on the golf course against Christian Fellowship down at Calvert City.
It's amazing that he can get out there and shoot like that. And then, I mean, the caliber of golf in Western Kentucky is just phenomenal. I saw the results from one of the tournaments the other day where Trinity Beth made the putt on the last hole to beat Catherine Brown. I mean, every year it just seems like the best golf in the state is just played there in Western Kentucky, and it sort of looks like it's going to be again this year.
Well, it would be sweet to see Lyon County's Catherine Brown go to state and win that thing, but that's such a monumental task. And like I say, Marshall County's got all those girls that can play well, and you look around Western Kentucky and the state, and, you know, golf just seems like it keeps getting better and better.
It does, and it's really fun to see. And, of course, Catherine Brown will be playing her college golf at Kentucky like her brother Cullen did, so that's going to be a really neat story, I think. But Catherine's just one of those players that just seems to get a little bit better every year, and I think when state tournament gets here, she'll certainly be one that you're going to have to beat to be able to win it. And I still think back to one of the first times I met Catherine when I was, I guess, on the golf course with Cullen. I was just asking him about her, and he said, if she just would ever realize that she's okay in basketball, but she could be great in golf, then she's going to be really something special in golf. And I think old Cullen knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, I think she gets a little better every time I see her on the golf course. So speaking of golf, I know you keep up with Emma Talley quite a bit, and she's playing over in the Scottish Open this morning.
Yeah, I think just getting ready to tee off, or maybe just has teed off and all, and kind of had a rough week last week in France, so she needs to kind of bounce back and have a good tournament this week. She seemed like she's been right on the verge, Todd, of a lot of good finishes this year, and either has one hole or one round that has just kind of knocked her back from a top 10 finish to maybe a 35th finish or something like that. So it would be nice to see her kind of get on a roll here for a few weeks.
Yeah, there's no margin for error, though, with the pros. I mean, those women are all so good that, like you said, one bad hole, one bad round, that takes you from a top 10 to top 40.
Yeah, and like I say, Emma's had a lot of good rounds, but she just has not been able to put four of those rounds together in a tournament, or had a hole or two that's kind of threw her for a loop. She's still having a good season, but I don't think probably the kind of season she was hoping for, and hopefully these next few weeks maybe she can kind of get things turned around a little bit for herself.
Larry, appreciate you coming on the show as always. What are you working on today and for this weekend coming up?
Well, I'll just be working on a little UK football, a little UK basketball. Got a story up today, or will be up, about Allie Stumler from volleyball getting ready to start her professional career over in France, and got a story up on the website about Jalen Geiger, a player, junior defensive back from Kentucky, who's been really good on the field, but he's been really special off the field, and caught up with his dad to talk about that. I think folks might enjoy reading. And so just a lot of basketball and a lot of football, as you said, both going on right now, and UK Football Media Day is next week, so we'll be churning out even more stuff. And just to kind of leave you, when we're talking football and you're talking about the Kentucky offensive line, think about this, Todd. Out of the people I would project that they're going to start this year in the offensive line, if you're looking for kind of a neat little story, at guards, they'll start Kenneth Horsey, who had heart surgery as a high school senior and has overcame that. They'll start Tayshaun Manning, the transfer from Auburn, who was diagnosed with leukemia in high school and had to undergo chemotherapy for 7 months. He's overcame that to where he's going to start. They're going to have Eli Cox starting at center, who was very lightly recruited, had a pretty good year last year at guard till he got hurt. So he's coming back off knee surgery, so he's going to be starting at center. And then I think at tight end, they'll start Brandon Bates, who's also coming off knee surgery from last year. So
wow.
It's kind of a remarkable story that when you look at how that offensive line is, the background stories of them all, and yet I think they're going to be really, really good there again this year.
All right, Larry, we appreciate it. And again, everyone can read your work over at yoursportsedge.com. We've got Vaught's Views button right there on the front of the homepage.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. That's Larry Vaught, longtime UK sports writer, and like I said, also a sports writer of other things besides just UK. And head over to yoursportsedge.com and check that out at Vaught's Views. Stay with us. More to come on the Sideline Report in just a little bit. We'll be talking with former Caldwell County baseball and football standout Shane Burns, who has joined us in the studio. And when we come back, we'll tell you who the newest class of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame is. So stay with us on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Black Patch Grill is a bar and grill with a twist. Come in and try authentic Irish fare or your favorite Southern comforts.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms this afternoon with a high near 88. 60% chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight. Overnight low 72. 70% chance on Friday with a high 82. Chance of showers, thunderstorms through the entire weekend. Once again, our forecast today, 30% chance for shower or thunderstorm with a high near 88.
It's an excellent time to purchase a new set of tires and take advantage of the new mail-in rebates of up to $200 on selected tires. Good tread depth and the correct air pressure in your tires can lead to improved fuel economy, increased handling and safety, more responsive braking, and a smoother ride. All things that make for a great summer road trip. Trice Hughes in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit TriceHughes.com. That's TriceHughes.com.
The Great Wall Chinese Restaurant in Princeton. Stop in and enjoy a delicious, authentic Chinese buffet every day for lunch and dinner. You can also order for carryouts. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and closed on Mondays. The Great Wall Chinese Restaurant is located at 420 U.S. Highway 62 in Princeton. Enjoy delicious, authentic Chinese cuisine by enjoying their delicious buffet, or call in your pickup orders to 270-365-9920.
This is the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Again, thanks to Larry Vaught for coming on and spending some time with us on the show this morning and talking all kinds of sports with us. Now, for the moment you've been waiting for, we have the newest class of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame.
just recently voted on and approved, and those guys will be honored at the September 23rd home game against Ballard Memorial. The nine newest members of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame class includes a member of the Tigers' 1998 state championship team and two players from the 2012 state runner-up squad. The Hall of Fame class of 2022 includes Billy Hooks, who was the starting center and nose guard on the 98 squad that beat Danville 38-28 for the Class 2A state championship at Old Cardinal Stadium in Louisville. Hooks was a senior on that squad. Meanwhile, wide receiver Tez Sivils and lineman Cole Webster from the 2012 team, which lost a heartbreaker to Newport Central Catholic 30-26 in the 2A finals in Bowling Green that season, are also among the newest class. Sivils and Webster were seniors on the state runner-up squad. Linemen Andrew Webster, Brock Thomas, and Will Brown have also been selected to the Caldwell Football Hall of Fame. Andrew Webster was an All-State Honorable Mention defensive lineman in his senior season of 2006. Thomas was a senior in the 1989 season. Brown, who is also a former Tiger football assistant coach, was a senior player in 1985. Brian Davis, a fullback and linebacker at Caldwell in the late 80s, is also on the list. He was a senior on the 1988 team. Wide receiver Matt Tittle has also been selected. He was a senior on the 2007 squad. Also chosen for induction is longtime member of the Tiger football stat crew and football booster and contributor Chris George. Chris is a 1994 Caldwell grad. Again, the nine newest members of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame are Billy Hooks, Tez Sivils, Cole Webster, Andrew Webster, Brock Thomas, Will Brown, Brian Davis, Matt Tittle, and Chris George. Again, the Hall of Fame class will be recognized at halftime of the Tigers' home game against Ballard Memorial September 23rd at Tiger Stadium. And that's the brand-new Hall of Fame class. Excited to get that out there. Joining us now in the studio, Shane Burns. And Shane, good morning. Welcome to the show. And what did you think about the Hall of Fame class?
Sounds like a pretty good list to me. I know you read off a couple of those names with Tez and Cole that – I remember vividly playing or watching them play, especially in that state tournament game. Like you said, it was a heartbreaker to watch how that ended. But a lot of good names on there, and definitely looking forward to that night.
Well, the last time you were on our show, we talked a whole lot about baseball and what was going on at Murray State. And since that time, you kind of announced that you were going to give up your last year at Murray State at baseball to move on. And what kind of went into that decision process for you?
Yeah, no, it wasn't easy. You know, everybody knows that, you know, at this playing at that level, you know, it can definitely be, you know, taxing on your body and just mentally taxing. And, you know, playing sports is from a little age and playing all the way up to your 22 years old, 23 years old. And the biggest thing for me was, you know, I feel like a lot of people may not understand playing at that level. It's more of a mental game. And then physically, just because you're so young, physically you can keep up with everything and you're good to go. But I feel like for me it was more from a mental standpoint. Just trying to step away. I felt like it was my time to just step down and become an adult now. And that's what I've done, you know, taking things into consideration. And, you know, I'll miss it, obviously, as a competitor. You know, you're going to want to try to get back into doing things and seeing where you fit in life. But the biggest thing for me was just kind of on the mental side of it. You know, I got my four-year degree, partial my master's paid for, and, you know, I didn't think there was a need for me to, you know, push myself if I wasn't, you know, obviously 100% committed for that fifth year.
Well, truthfully, though, you got pretty much a full run because the reason you had another year was COVID. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the biggest thing that went into consideration was, you know, my fifth year was because of COVID. You know, I wouldn't have had a fifth year if it wasn't for that. You know, it's not like the coaches pulled me in freshman year. It's like, hey, you know, we're going to redshirt you your freshman year, hoping for that fifth year to be your outbreak season or whatever. So the biggest thing for me was, you know, if it wasn't for the pandemic, you know, I would be doing exactly what I am today. I'd have had my four-year degree and I'd have moved on just like everybody else. So.
Well, you're here this morning with your State Farm shirt on, so tell us what you're doing these days.
Yeah, it's kind of a good opportunity. I was home for probably 2 or 3 weeks, early June, and then I saw Barkley out there at State Farm, he had actually an opening, and you know, something insurance I've never you know thought about, but definitely it's more of a you know a people thing and more of a hands-on type job, and I definitely thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to pursue that because my degree was in advertising and the PR side of things. So for insurance, you know, you definitely got to be in the community and you know talking with people and stuff like that, and you know, I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to take, and that's where I'm at right now. And you know, the past 4 years working in, at Morgan's and stuff like that, it was a people job. So that's kind of right up my alley, to talk and be on my feet and communicate and be involved in the community. And that's kind of what went into that decision.
But you're not totally getting away from sports either.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This kind of, you know, happened here recently. I just kind of reached out to Coach Barnes, you know, and asked him for an opportunity just to be on the sidelines and show up when I can for practices and, you know, stuff like that. So it's a good opportunity for me to not fully lay down, you know, the full the sports side of things and competitive, but, you know, just kind of be, I guess, an extra set of eyes on Friday nights is kind of my goal. You know, I kind of told him straight up that I didn't want to jump right back into full-time, you know, sports and stuff like that just because I wouldn't be doing myself any good, just because, like I said, the reason I got out of sports was to kind of have more of, you know, personal time and focus on myself and, you know, focus on my career. So, and he was all for it. You know, I'm grateful for this opportunity, and it's kind of a full circle moment to kind of, you know, you know, play, and then now you're like, hey, you know, you're a coach. And but no, I'm excited for Friday nights and you know, just help contribute to whatever I can.
You grew up playing a lot of quarterback. Do you still get fired up this time of year because it's almost football season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime that you play football for the blue and gold, I think anytime this time of year, you know, there's a buzz in the air for sure. You know, Friday nights are special. You know, there's nothing like, you know, the biggest thing playing on Friday nights was, you know, us be warming up and hearing the band walk down the hill. You know, that's kind of was my trigger, was just hearing the band, everybody coming in, and just, you know, obviously playing every night and every Friday night, and just being with the guys and the run that we had there with, you know, Coach Barnes and David. You know, that was such a special run, you know, playing for him. And you know, definitely, for sure, I mean, anytime you play for the blue and gold, there's definitely a buzz around the air this time of year.
What's your first impressions of this year's team?
You know, that's a good question, because really, you know, I don't really know much about the team. You know, I'm at that point, you know, I joking with the Mitchell Harrelson, which is, you know, a special teams guy, coach for us, and I was telling him, I was like, man, you know, these kids were playing junior pro football when we were playing. Yeah. You know, a lot of these kids were barely even in middle school and finishing up their junior pro career. So for me, it's going to be a learning opportunity to learn about them too. You know, I know some faces, I know some names, but the biggest thing for me is, you know, the more I'm around them, I'm going to learn more about them, and they're going to learn more about me and stuff like that. So for me to put a, you know, pinpoint, you know, what's this, that, and the other, you know, I couldn't do that right now just because I've been, you know, not around the past 4 or 5 years being in college and have such a young group come up.
Thought the team last year played really well to go 7-4. You know, I don't think a lot was expected of it, and it kind of feels like this year's team is kind of that way, that when you read other people's comments, that they're not really expecting a good year, but I feel like somehow the team will put together another solid season.
Yeah, it always does. And you know, I don't want to harp on the team that I play for, but when Cindler left, that was kind of the same story.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, you know, they'll be 500 this year. And I think, you know, the coaching staff does a really good job. It's a mindset. You know, you're going to have guys out there, it's 11, or 11 versus their 11, and whoever wants it more. And like you said, you know, everybody, if you get caught up in the media, you're going to get brainwashed with everything they say. You know, Caldwell's going to be 5-5. They're going to be 4-6, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, but, dang media.
Yeah. but that was the same story for – that was the same story for us. You know, when Cindler left and that group left, It was, you know, hey, they're going to be mediocre. And you know, Coach Barnes, David, you know, the biggest thing he told us, we have to fill our own shoes. We can't fill someone else's shoes. And I think that's kind of the story, you know, each year and each out. You know, you have different guys that's going to be contributing for you. And that's the, I think it's a big story for you.
Yeah, speaking of Cindler, had Larry Vaught on earlier, and he was talking about Deuce Hogan, who's going to be the backup at UK, and he had a story up on your sportsedge.com on his Vaught's Views page, and, you know, Deuce wears number 2, and he's got the gold jersey on. He looked a lot like Cindler in that picture.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, Cindler, he was you know, just incredible to watch. I mean, he was a senior my freshman year, so just to step back and actually watch Shinalar and see what he done and went on to Purdue. In the moment you may not realize, but now that we're sitting here, you know, 6-7 years later, you know, it's kind of surreal to know that a guy like that came through here and contributed.
You threw a ton of touchdown passes, but he had 144 of them.
Yeah. No, that's definitely that's definitely something that Shinalar, whoever comes through here and breaks that, they're doing something. And you know, to be a 4-year starter like him, you know, somebody's gonna have to come in here and start for 4 years to have that many games underneath them to try to break those records. And like I said, just freshman year, sitting back and taking it all in and watching Jalen and all those guys and, you know, actually playing with D and Josh and, you know, Eli Pepper, all the weapons that, you know, came through to make that happen. And, it was fun to watch for sure.
Now, do you have any plans on doing any baseball coaching or anything like that?
No, not at the moment. I've had a lot of people reach out to me about that. The biggest thing for me right now, the reason I took the football kind of side, it's only one day a week for me. It's on Friday nights. That's my main thing. Give me something to look forward to, stay involved. But the baseball thing right now, I think I'm going to try to put that on the side right now. Just because baseball, you know, you play 3 or 4, maybe 5 games a week. And you practice the days you don't. You know, I've been in it. I know how it works. So for me to take a position there right now, I think I'm going to take it easy on that side. And, you know, if something was to come to me and I think it's the right opportunity for me mentally and just physically and, you know, my schedule and stuff, I'll definitely jump into it. And that's the biggest thing. You know, people's like, you know, you're going to, you know, start coaching baseball. You're going to start doing that. Well, the biggest thing is I'm just still 22. You know, if I decide 3 years down the road to want to try to do something, you know, I'm still 25. You know, I'm still a fairly young adult to jump in and do things like that. So the biggest thing is with me is just not rushing anything.
Pretty cool, though, that your former teammate, Josh Young, is the new baseball head coach.
Yeah. No, it's kind of another full circle moment, like I've been telling you. You know, it's kind of crazy, you know, to, you know, play baseball and football and grow up with him, and now he's the head coach. I don't want to say I'm getting old because I'm not, but at the same time, you're like, man, you know, it's kind of cool to see that, you know, he's taking that role, and, you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do because, I mean, he had a good year this past year, you know, assistant. They won district, I believe, and, you know, had a really good run. And, you know, I know that with him and whoever decides to help him, they're going to have, you know, some good leadership and some good teams because I just know how Josh operates with his competitive side too.
Talking this morning with Shane Burns, former Tiger football player and baseball player, and we had two of your former teammates on the show last week, Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas. When you think back to those teams, you know, you've had some time now since the back-to-back regional championship games and regional championship titles. What's kind of your thoughts on those teams now when you look back?
Yeah, I feel like we talk about this, you know, every time we come on here, but it was such a special era for, you know, Colwell County baseball. And the time that we were all playing together, you know, we really didn't think about, you know, the impact that we were having. We were just going out there. We were kids. We were playing. We were laying on the line. And then whatever happened that day is just whatever happened. And I think, you know, now that we're all, you know, finishing up our college careers or finishing up our last year or wherever we're at, you know, that's the main things we talk about now. You know, we talk about those, you know, those days and how we're doing and, you know, stuff like that. And even in football, you know, the guys that I see with football, you know, that's what we talk about. And that's the thing we have in common. So sports in Caldwell County has always been a big, big impact on my life for sure.
I was always struck by how well you guys all got along. You know, I think with any team, there's a little, you know, strife somewhere along the way. Everybody faces adversity somehow. But the dugout was always such a fun place, and you guys won a lot of games, so maybe that was part of it too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that core group of us guys, we all grew up with each other, you know, from playing Little League ball down here at our ballpark to traveling and coming together in high school. And that was the biggest thing is us. We had that chemistry of we knew when time to go and when time to, you know, goof around and have fun. And that was the mindset that Coach Allen's always had, you know, for us. And like I said, that starts with the, you know, the leadership above us. And but yeah, the dugout was always a good time, especially when you can goof around and still lock it in and still win ball games and compete at that level.
I think that's a lot to it, though. That's a lot to being successful is when the dugout's up and when everybody's encouraging and everybody's sharing information. It's you know, to me that leads to a lot better experience for the whole team than when the dugout's quiet and maybe people aren't sharing information.
Right. You know, that's the biggest thing with baseball and any sport you play, adversity. You know, that's the biggest thing, how you're going to handle that. And if you go shut down and, you know, to yourself in the dugout or on the sideline or whatever it is, you're not going to be successful because, I mean, the next guy behind you, you know, I didn't hit in college or anything. But the biggest thing is our guys, they would strike out. The biggest thing we do, they come right back to the dugout, you know, kind of give a, you know, short scouting report and go on. So that's the biggest thing. You got to stay loose. I mean, if not, like I said, this game's going to eat you alive and you'll be done just like that. And, you know, like you said, a loose atmosphere and a loose dugout is definitely, definitely good for the team.
Talking this morning with Shane Burns, former Caldwell County Tiger. Need to get to a break here on the show, but we'll be back right after this quick timeout here at 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Community Medical Clinic in Princeton is accepting new patients of all ages. They accept all insurances. If you're uninsured, they offer a sliding scale program and self-pay options.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms today with a high 88 degrees. Tonight, 60% chance of showers, thunderstorms, low 72. 70% chance of rain and thunderstorms on Friday with a high 82 degrees. Continuing chance of rain and thunderstorms through the entire weekend. Once again today, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms this afternoon. Today's high 88 degrees.
Need cash fast? Contact ABC Finance now.
Whether it's their first day of kindergarten or the first day as a senior in high school, you want your kids to have everything they need.
Don't let money worries stop you. Visit ABC Finance.
Hi, this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville location.
We can help you with all the things your child will need for school.
At ABC Finance, we provide loans up to $15,000.
We are locally owned and staffed, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour.
No appointment is needed. Walk-ins are welcome.
You can even give us a call and we will take your application over the phone.
Or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Our commitment is to make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free. We can even consolidate all loans into one easy payment. For more information and for great money and credit tips, like ABC Finance on Facebook.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Shane Burns is in the studio with us this morning. And Shane, we were talking about the guys on last week, Tate and Bryce. And, you know, one of my favorite comments last week was they said that you guys would definitely beat the 1991 team.
I think Coach McGregor Dono would have something else to say about that. But no, I definitely, I mean, the styles of baseball between 91 and how we played is just, it's totally different. And it would be a good game. You know, I don't know much about the 91 team besides they were really successful, obviously. You know, I definitely would, if we could do it, obviously we'd be up to the task. You know, we're not going to turn down anything, and so are they. They're not going to back away just from, you know, some 18-year-old punks, is what they would say. So it'd definitely be a good game just to compete against them for sure.
Well, somebody from the 1991 team is going to have to come on here and defend them. You know, I mean, you guys are, you know, saying that, you know, you'd do well against them, and they contend that they're the better team. So, I mean,
You definitely going to have to get somebody on here to kind of get their word for it. And, you know, they're obviously going to have to use them BB core bats. They can't be using them hot bats they used back in the 90s, right? So a pop fly doesn't get out of the outfield anymore.
They were a hard-hitting team, and they had some nice pitching too. You know, I mean, they were a very formidable group. So
That's the big thing is I don't care to step on the mound for somebody right now, but as far as hitting, I think that'd be my struggle right now. They put me in the nine hole and I'll bunt somebody over. So that's the biggest thing. Going from the high school to college level is the biggest difference is hitting.
Fair to say, though, that when you guys were winning regional championships that you kind of relied on your pitching maybe a little more than the hitting?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, and that's any championship team. I mean, you're going to have to put together your pitching and hitting, you know. And, you know, we had a lot of pitching with, you know, me and Ty and Luke Brown my sophomore year before he graduated. And, you know, Briar Riley and Gabe East. And, I mean, really, I mean, if you want to throw Bryce and Noah in there, I mean, they were guys that eight innings for us. And, you know, Jay Schron, you know, he threw a couple innings. So anybody, I mean, really came off the field and it's like, you know, hey, let's go. When you can have, you know, six, seven guys that you can rely on at a high school level, it's almost going to be hard not to be successful, especially when all those arms are quality. You know, once in high school, once you get past your second, maybe third guy, if you're lucky, it's all downhill from there. You're going to see, you know, 70 to 75 miles an hour, and with a talent that we have, we're going to tee off on that and make it hurt. So, you know, the luxury to have, you know, six, seven guys to be competitive and to rely on, I mean, it's almost hard not to be successful at that level. So,
was just neat hearing them talk last week, how you guys all kind of stay in touch, and if somebody does something, you guys, even though you went separate ways in college, you guys were always kind of keeping up with one another.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, anytime that you play, you know, with those guys that long, you're going to want to keep up with them, you know. I mean, even though sometimes I keep up with Tate through you,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's still, you know, I'm still seeing what Tate's doing, you know. I'm still reaching out to, you know, Bryce and Jace and seeing what they're doing. You know, we all have busy schedules. It's not like we're sitting there FaceTiming each other for 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But anytime we can get a chance to reach out and to say, hey, what's up, you know, how's it going, or hey, grats on this or grats on that, obviously we're going to take that opportunity to do that. And that's, you know, that's anytime. At the college level too, you know, there's a guy, my roommate, just signed with the Detroit Tigers from my summer league team, Connor Holden. Played 3 years of college baseball with him and 2 years of summer ball, and you know, he worked his tail off for that and took his fifth year at Wichita State. Unfortunately, didn't stay with us, but anytime you can get guys like that around you and surround you, obviously it's always good to catch up with them.
How cool was it though when you found out that Jace Felker was going to UK?
Yeah, that was, you know, that was definitely good news for him and us involved. I mean, he went to Wren Lake and really done what he needed to do and deserved that opportunity. And he can tell you for himself, you know, just because he made it to Kentucky doesn't mean, you know, anything. You know, once you get to that level, it's the next step, it's the next guy, and he can tell you that for himself. And he's done a really good job of adapting and playing some outfield, some infield, whatever he needs to do to try to get himself in that lineup. And I know that he started off pretty well into the beginning of the year and kind of, you know, slumped down maybe towards the end of the year, but then that's just part of the game. Anytime you can play at the Power 5 level or play against the Power 5 level, I mean, it's a different ball game, and, you know, obviously I'm proud of him, and he's got one more year up there, so I'm excited to see what he can do this next spring. Yeah.
Well, we are getting close to football, though, so as a former player, what's your favorite football memory as a Tiger?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Because you guys had some good wins. I mean, you were beating Henderson County and Paducah Tillman and all those teams.
Right. You know, I think the biggest thing was just getting out there and obviously just competing with, you know, caliber talent of Josh and the D's and Elijah Andersons and the Zach Gaithers and, you know, Oliver Parker. Go out there and playing with them. And like I said, as you get older and you step away from it, you realize the talent and the teams that you played with. You know, one of the most favorite games I played in was E-Town. Even though we got beat on a Hail Mary, it was like, you know, well, maybe it's a fluke that Caldwell County's, you know, 10-2 or whatever the case may be, and we get in there and, you know, we come up short, obviously, but thing is, you know, we didn't get ran over. Yeah. We didn't get run over any game. I think my sophomore year we lost 3 games by 8 points in about 10 seconds. You know, Christian County beat us on a, I think, last second field goal or last second drive. You know, Mayfield beat us on a last second field goal, and then E-Town beat us on a Hail Mary. So we were three losses away in about 8 seconds from being 13-0 and going to the semifinals of the state tournament. So, you know, it was a fun year. And like I said, the more you step away from it, the more you realize how special it is to play.
More specialness coming up this season at Caldwell County. We'll see you out there. Congratulations on getting the coaching spot. And, you know, we'll talk during games. And hopefully we'll see another special Caldwell County team put together a nice little season this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely to be on the sidelines as a coach is definitely going to be different for me. Not running out there and strapping up your helmet and trying to go score a touchdown is going to be different. But, you know,
nobody's going to be trying to hit you on the sideline.
Surely not. But now I'm excited for it. And, you know, we kick off here in a few weeks. So just trying to get the kids ready and learn about them and trying to contribute as much as I can.
All right.
I
appreciate you coming in this morning and talking to us. And good luck with the new job.
Yeah, appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
That's Shane Burns, former Caldwell County Tiger football player and baseball player. Played baseball at Murray State University as well. Also, thanks to Larry Vaught, longtime UK sports writer, for joining us on the show this morning. Again, you can head over to yoursportsedge.com, click on Vaught's Views, and read all of Larry's work on UK basketball, UK football, and lots more over there. That's going to wrap us up for this Thursday on the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and yoursportsedge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.